Holy moly! If you are just coming off episode 8 and wondering what the hell just happened, let me tell you, if this is real time, I'm a month ahead of you and I'm still wondering. That threat of character death in these games is so real, and I encourage anyone who plays to embrace it. Don't shy away from it. It's like a cornerstone to the drama that makes the whole thing fun. One other thing I'm learning with these games is to not take the rules too seriously. In a board game or a competition, you got to toe the line of the rules perfectly. But in tabletop RPGs, the GM is there for a reason. Pathfinder is so ridiculously crunchy to me, but I'm learning the hard way to just go with the flow. Our unique instance of this game will be different than yours, and it's better to say, "Yes, master," to your GM than to consult the rulebook over every decision. Whatever game you are playing, the rules and the setting are just guidelines. We are improvising and co-creating a dramatic story together, and the GM gets to steer the ship. I personally love that Adam had us all unconscious on the boat and then gave us each one roll to determine our death or not. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. Thank you for making it this far. Now here is episode 9.
Welcome into episode 9. Our heroes have no idea what's going on, no idea how long they've been asleep. They have just stabilized in this tent on this island out somewhere in the ocean. And this massive leviathan creature ripped through their tent, trailing a couple of animal trainers, lassoing it around the neck, trying to tame this beast. But before we get to that, I want to hear from every adventurer. We'll start with Clam. Oh. What was your character thinking about, dreaming about, what flashed before their eyes right as they were dying on the ship? Go.
All right. So Clam's had near-death experiences a couple times now. This time, he got it into a deep sleep. It was very... surreal. What do you call it when a dream seems real?
Lucid.
Lucid dreaming. Yeah, it was like lucid dreaming. Thank you. For most of his dream, it felt like he was in a very colorful river. He was like standing still in it like a rock, and things were passing by him. Things, presumably first world type of things. It was very colorful. There was like fairies and things like that floating by him. And then gnomes, first world gnomes, were drifting by him in this endless water. And they would speak to him, but they would pass by very quickly, so they could only get like a word or two out. And they would say things like, "We're so proud of your braveness, Klambarinski." And they'd be like, "Stick with it," and things like that. But there were so many voices, it was hard to pinpoint, but they all seemed very kind and congratulatory. But like I said, he's like a rock in the middle of the river, and a couple hours into this, he is trying to see if he can figure out what's going on, and one of the gnomes seems to be very intent looking at him. And so he tries to steer himself to block that gnome from floating on down the river. And so that gnome kind of locks eyes with him. And this gnome doesn't look like gnomes that he's met before. Again, it's like a first world gnome, like extremely magical and colorful, almost like a different species at this point. And that gnome is like, "Clam, you must protect your life. You have a purpose that is bigger than you realize. And I don't want to see you throw it away because of your family name. There is a reason for your life." And then that's the longest he could hold him. But the guy was very intent looking at him. The clam finally lets him go because he's not as strong as the torrent of the river. And then Clam kind of looks down. He's completely naked in this river, but he's standing in it waist high. But his body is now covered in like a shimmering rainbow-colored scales all over his body. And that's when that dream ends. And then next thing he knows, he is having a dream that is a memory of a time he spent in a large port city on his way to Otari when he was with a bard. And this bard showed him a new type of music, called it rock. And Clam is...
Was it just rocks?
Yeah, exactly. Banging stones together.
Clam, just dropping stones in a bucket.
Shut up!
That's how the Rolling Stones were created, too.
Clam is headbanging and jumping around and feeling that music that he's never heard before, and he realizes he wants some more of that, and that takes him through the rest of the sleep.
Can you give us a demo of this rock music?
Maybe later.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, Mel, what was Mel thinking about?
All right.
Dreaming about?
Yeah, he had this reoccurring dream, and it just kept getting more and more realistic, and so basically he felt this chill all around him, and he would try to grab for more covers, but they weren't there. And then there's a pop and from the fire that's in his room, and he's startled awake, and the fire just spreads to the log that's sitting next to it in the fireplace in his room, and he can see ornate carvings on the stone walls flickering in the newly rekindled flame, and there's a calming warmth again. He feels safe from all the dark things in the world. But then the fire keeps growing. It's spreading through the room now. I struggle to move as if I'm being held to the fire, like forced to feel its warmth, more like forced to endure its pain. I jolt awake and grab for my arm, but I can't because I'm bound. Calm yourself, I say. Think of the halfling, think of Hal. And then I fall back to an uneasy sleep. Yeah, and that's the dream that he's just been having over and over for days now.
Nice. Tipsy.
Tipsy doesn't have so much a dream as he just has a series of images flashing in front of him. He was really young when his mother died, and it was part of the reason his father started the community that he grew up in. Because he stopped trusting the big folk after that. And so he just had flashes of images that he's never seen or been a witness to of the death and the tragedy that occurred, but only heard from third parties that he kind of drug it out of him because his dad refused to talk about it. So he saw scenes of the violence that took place, the way that his mother died, and then also got glimpses into things he'd only ever guessed at about the community itself, because... I don't know that I mentioned this in the introduction, but they never worried about the bleaching in the gnome community. And he could never figure out why, once he made it to the real world, and then that became an object of fascination, especially for Clam, as we found out. He didn't really understand bleaching. He never really had a discussion about it with his parents, with his dad and any of the other community members. But he saw flashes of maybe what was the reasoning that they didn't have to worry about it, and it was unsettling and dark, and it portended a lot of ill omens for his father and potentially him in the community as well. And then he wakes in that uneasy sort of setting and is trying to grasp around, figure out where they are, and that's where we find Tipsy.
Nice. And Bash?
Yeah, Bash is not much of a seafaring gnome. Even though he grew up around Wispel and, you know, the trade routes on the river were very normal for most gnomes in the area, he always stayed away from that. So he goes unconscious and is immediately in his mind, like, transported back to, you know, the mossy green forest floor. He's just kind of laying there, and he sees all of his friends of the forest, right? He sees Cheep Cheep, and he sees all his canine friends, starting
Wait,
with...
Wait, what was Cheep
Woof
Cheep?
Woof Woof. Cheep Cheep's new. You don't know Cheep Cheep. You probably never knew Cheep Cheep.
I'm wondering what animal that would be.
Well, it's a bird, like a bluebird.
Okay.
Cheep Cheep. Yeah, you can hear it now. Cheep Cheep. So this is basically what Bash was seeing in his dream, right? Uh-huh. So Cheep Cheep and all his canine friends, he hadn't seen them for a while. There was Woof Woof and the little dog Yip Yip, and you know, all of his friends were just all around him, and eventually he sees Dig Dig, who he has missed for so long, who was his companion for years and years. And he starts to feel calm when all of a sudden he like looks to a tree, and there's this dark raven with red eyes who doesn't seem like he's like the others, right? And the other animal friends are staying away from this raven a little bit more, and Bash is intrigued, and he feels like he remembers this raven, but he doesn't know the raven. And as he's kind of sleeping and thinking, it's like in his mind's eye, he just kind of gets closer and closer, like zooms in, like directly to this raven's face. And he has this epiphany that the raven's different, and he kind of jolts awake, and he can't remember what was different about that raven.
Nice.
He didn't notice the glue.
he knew there was something going on, that it was maybe a little unnatural, but he can't recall as he's like startled awake.
Uh-huh. Or that it was missing an eyeball.
Yeah.
Correct. It was just one eye. Yeah. 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 One eye that he kind of went into the soul of this raven.
One claw was wooden and styrofoam.
Bash is very observant. He's got high perception. He thought it was his buddy. Knew something was off.
All right.
All right, and you are jolted awake by this leviathan ripping through your tent. And then you hear the animal trainers like being dragged behind it. You can't understand their language. as they're talking to each other, trying to coordinate. What do you do?
Are we inside the tent?
The tent has been ripped away from us, so we're standing there. The Leviathan is dragging the canvas of the tent with it.
But okay. Not us.
Not you.
Okay, so we stayed there. Okay.
It peeled us like a tin can.
Peeled us off.
Yes. Okay. You know like the magic trick where they pull the tablecloth off and everything in this stays?
Right.
That's what happened to me.
Are we like in the bedrolls?
No.
Like we're laying down?
You're in a chair. Oh. Hands bound in front of you.
Oh,
hands and feet bound
Are we in any way bound to the chairs? Are we just bound foot to foot, hand to hand?
Foot to foot, hand to hand. Okay. Not to the chairs.
Okay.
Foot to foot, hand to hand.
You can even see the Leviathan messed some of it up, but like your packs are across where in the tent where you were. Across from you are your packs and your stuff. Some of them got spilled on the floor as the Leviathan ran through, but everything is there.
And we were sleeping right before this.
Can I?
You were sleeping right before this. You're actually like technically in kind of a mini coma. You've been out, you don't know how long you've been out.
Okay.
Also, I should mention, Caw-Caw made it to the island. Caw-Caw followed behind. Mm-hmm. Was the only creature that was still alive, followed behind as these creatures brought you here. And Caw-Caw is just hiding out in a tree, maybe, you know, 100 feet off.
Okay.
Tipsy, roll a will save.
Oh, okay.
Still? Jeez.
Oh, boy. That is a 11.
Stupefied one.
Oh, jeez.
Right off the bat.
Picking up where we left off.
That feels bad.
All right, what do you do?
Can I attempt an escape check on the bindings?
Yes, you can. What are you going to do to escape?
Well, it says on the escape action that I use my unarmed attack modifier against the thievery DC of whoever tied me up.
Okay, what is Tipsy actually doing?
Oh, well,
are you just
wriggling
struggling?
Out. Yeah, I'm wriggling out. I don't have any knives or anything on me, so I'm just going to try to dislocate my wrist until I can get it out.
All right, go for it.
All right, that's a 10 on the die. I don't know unarmed attacks. I'm trained, so I assume that's a +3, so 13.
13. You can feel a little
that'd be a +4. I'm level 2, so 14.
A little movement, but you're not free.
Okay.
Clam is, he just came out of that dream, And so he's checking to see any parts of his skin to see if they're colored, covered with those rainbow scales. And he's still feeling super connected to the first world. So even though his hands are tied behind his back, correct?
No, they're
in front
on
of
your
him.
Laps.
In front of him. Okay, yeah. So he's looking at his skin. He doesn't see the scales, but he still feels it. And so he's gonna light his ignition hand fire and try to burn the ropes because he assumes that his skin is resistant to any first world magic.
All right. Do you need a roll for that, or does it just happen?
You're telling me.
Wait, you're using the...
I'm using ignition to try to burn the rope.
Oh, why didn't I do that? Yeah, that's a cantrip. I think it just happened.
I mean, there is a roll for attacking with it. Is that what I would do?
No, the ignition lights the ropes.
Okay.
After a few seconds, they light on fire and give me a strength check to see if you can pull them apart.
Pick a
your best attribute.
A strength check.
Is this
check.
Negative?
It is a negative one modifier.
Yeah, this is going to be... four.
So four. Three?
No, I rolled a five.
They're burning. You have to wait a minute before they burn through. Like you can't
sure.
pull your hands out.
Okay.
So the Leviathan's still running around. But
so
you,
they're just like singeing, and I'm trying to be like,
yeah. You can tell it's working though.
You're straining on it.
Yeah.
You're like those tense
is
moments.
Is the Leviathan looking at us?
It's running around.
It's just running around the camp.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't necessarily notice us.
No.
Yeah, we're side dressing to that thing. It's got bigger problems.
It blasted through the tents, and it seems like it wants to circle back. Like it went all the way to the water again, still dragging these seafaring creatures behind it.
They can't
stand up and pull it, like subdue it, pull it down.
Are these guys the same guys we fought on the boat? Or are they different species, race, whatever?
You can tell now they're different species.
Okay,
they're different race.
Is there so besides these guys and this giant sea beast? Because now the tent is off of us. Like, what else do we see?
You're on the outskirts of a camp. Like this is a
and
settlement.
Nobody else is there. We see no other living.
Not right now. Like in the distance, you can hear
talking or something.
Yeah,
but there's like trees in the way and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is a settlement, a very small settlement. But you can tell this wasn't the only tent there. There are other tents. There's like a central fire going off in the distance. These are just two of the creatures of that settlement.
Oh yeah, I see the smoke actually.
Well, I guess if Tipsy has eyes on Clam and he sees him using ignition, he's going to do the same thing.
All right. Roll me a strength check, too.
Strength check? Okay. What do I have on strength?
Smart, Tipsy. Use that first
15.
World magic.
15. Okay, you are able to rip free.
Okay.
The fire starts just a little bit. Jor, you're going to take one roll a d4 fire damage. You kind of burned yourself because it's sitting on the ropes.
One damage.
Okay. But Tipsy, the fire starts, and right when it starts to singe one of the ropes, you can rip them free.
Bust them free?
Yeah.
All right.
What do you do?
Then I go around and start untying everybody else, either with my hands or if I find somebody's blade laying around.
You could take
or,
my dagger.
Well, do we have any of our equipment?
That's your equipment was across the tent from
okay,
you.
Yeah, then I pick up Clam's dagger and start cutting everybody free.
Okay. Yeah, I won't make you make any checks for that. The creatures that were dragging Leviathan kind of notice you now.
Do we recognize their race or language?
Is that racist?
I don't think so. It's gibberish to us.
I think it's ancestrist. No, you do not.
Okay.
I mean,
can I roll a recall knowledge on
nature?
Yeah.
Or society.
Roll me one on society.
Can I roll society? I have good society.
Yeah, everybody roll me one on society.
9 for me.
21.
Same.
21. Okay.
15.
You suspect these might be Azarkedi creatures. They're like half humanoid, half aquatic creatures. They kind of have like scaly skin.
What was the DC? I want to know if Clam would know this.
What did you roll?
15.
You do not know.
Okay, good.
These two.
Over 20.
They speak an Aquan language, which none of you have, right? None of you
nope.
have Aquan?
Nope.
So you cannot understand them. They are small communities. You've heard about them spoke. You've never seen one. You've never met one. They're very rare. they live in really small communities on these like ocean-based islands, and they need to be by water. I'll give you this as well. They need to be by water their whole lives.
Okay.
They will die if they go too far inland and try and live without water.
And I would like to note that apparently they're such poor communities that they can't afford plastic bases to their miniatures. They just have cardboard bases. Feet.
That was foisted upon them by their creator, though.
Yes, I apologize for that.
Mm-hmm. All right. The Leviathan got to the sea, noticed you guys all kind of moving around, comes back through and rears at you. It's sprinting at you now. Everybody give me a reflex
the
save.
The Leviathan is?
Is it attacking can I, or just
hang
running?
On. Can Bash do one of these things from like Dances with Wolves where he just stands in front of the beast and goes, Este, Este.
Wait, hold on. Does he need to sense motive first to see if it's hostile towards him or friend, yeah. or neutral?
It looks hostile to me, but I'm gonna try to just show him my like calm presence. I'm really good with animals, so I just want to stand front of him and kind of hold my hand out.
Put the Leviathan clam on the other side, yeah, and then put the two Azarketti on the other side as well. They're dragged behind him. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, all right, so we have the Leviathan and the Azarketti are near the seashore. Our heroes are a little bit further inland. The Leviathan is running up to them. All
that's,
right,
that's Bash. Perfect. So I just kind of jump out. I just hold my hand there, like meaning like stay, stay.
Would that be like a diplomacy check with his nature bonus?
Yeah, I mean,
it wouldn't really be command animal, would it?
No. It's closest to command animal.
Okay,
but the. Are we in? We're not in combat, though.
Yeah, command animal is a
no. You
combat
can do it anytime.
Trait.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
What do you roll for command animal? Nature.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Nature.
Yeah. Roll your nature. See what.
he gets immediately steamrolled by it. That was
a one again.
That was a nat one.
I rolled a nat one.
I don't understand. He rolls more 20s than ones. Nothing has changed since a month
Nothing
ago.
Nothing in between.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
No. I'm buying you new dice.
Oh, I'm
at
using,
least the D20.
I'm using this other dice. How does that happen?
Okay, that doesn't mean you can't try again, but as for now, the Leviathan rips through you. Everybody roll a reflex save except for Bash. Mm-hmm. Bash you're going to take this damage straight away.
Okay. I got a 19.
16.
18.
18. Okay, so you would all take, you three take half. Bash, you're going to take full. I'm going to roll 1d6.
Take this half is, with 18.
This is just bludgeoning damage, giant creature trying to run through you. 4.
So we take
we
2
take
then?
We take 2 or 4?
You three take Clam, Mel, and Tipsy. I'll take 2.
Okay.
Bash takes 4.
Oh, that could have been
I was
going to
say,
worse.
Got off light.
That could have been.
Yeah, you're lucky I'm not
I'm so glad you're benevolent.
I would have amputated your arms with that.
So, you put your hand up, the Leviathan kind of like...
An archer with no arms.
ignores you, digs his head down, and like bucks you up like a bull would.
Yeah.
And you fly, land on its back. That's where you take most of the bludgeoning damage, bring the headbutt and the landing, and then you fall off, roll to the ground.
Okay.
Leviathan is past you again. What do you guys do?
So he's away from, like, his back is to us now.
Yes.
Is it just past us? I'm going to grab for the rope and try to help these guys wrangle it.
All right. Give me, I'll take either strength, athletics, or acrobatics.
Yeah, your strength.
Let's do acrobatics.
I was going to say acrobatics is going to be the best one.
Known to be a strong elf.
Oh,
another fumble.
Goodness.
Another natural one.
What a start to the day. It can only go up from here.
That would be a one.
Plus, your rope cinches on a little bit, and then you don't realize how much force this creature has behind it, and it yanks you straight to the ground, like faceplant. Immediately.
Let's
take 1d4 damage.
At least he can act as an anchor.
It's still so
two.
Nice.
Two.
I'm trying to not TPK you in back-to-back episodes.
Yeah, I'm so glad it's not right a D20.
I was going to say, in an introductory scenario, too.
So Clam, he sees Bash fall on his face, and then he sees Mel fall on his face. And he's still kind of woozy from the dream, and he still is hearing the voice of the first world gnome telling him to take care of his life more. So he looks at Tipsy and he's like, "Deepsy, let's go." And he's going to run for that tree over there and try to hide in it.
No. Tipsy hears that and he looks at Clam. He goes, "All right, I got something for this guy." He rolls up his sleeves. He's walking forward and he casts Tangle Vine at the big sea beast.
Okay, so is Clam climbing up the tree?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I could make it there in one turn. I'm trying to run to that big tree.
We're not really in turns yet. Okay. I haven't put you in initiative yet. We're sorting this out. You know, the creature is freaking out. It's not necessarily attacking you.
I'm not.
It's panicking.
I don't want to climb up the tree. I'm assuming that it's got, like, hanging down branches. I'm just going to, like, hide under its branches, like, behind the trunk.
Okay, go for it. Move yourself
I'm,
there.
See what I'm doing.
Do you want me to roll for the tangle vine?
Go for it.
That is a 22.
22. Okay.
What's its DC, I guess? Because is that a success or critical success?
That's a success,
okay.
Not a crit.
Okay. So it takes a negative 10-foot circumstance penalty to its speed for one round.
Oh, okay. So you notice this creature comes to almost a standstill. It is struggling.
Okay.
Nice job.
Everybody's moving a little bit further off the water as it's dragging all of you with it. And the Leviathan comes to a standstill. It really can't move through this Tanglevine spell. Right, spell?
Yep. Yeah. Cantrip, whatever.
And it's struggling. What does Tanglevine do? Makes physical vines?
A physical vine shoots out and basically wraps the thing and encumbers it.
It's like yelling at you. legs stuck in this vine. It's not great. You've noticed now, it's not great at moving on land.
Okay.
It's got some kind of like a walrus or a seal. Like it can move around on land, but it's you could tell its appendages are clearly meant for water. So this little these vines
those
slow
look
it down
like
a
vestigial
lot.
Organs.
Now what do you do?
Well, are the guys trying to wrangle it able to like kind of get back control of this thing?
Yes.
While it's like that,
they get up there and do what Bash tried to do.
Okay.
But in their language.
Are they paying any attention to us yet, or they're still completely focused on the creature?
They're focused on the creature still.
Okay. But they're up on its back now.
One is on its back. One is in front of them.
Uh-huh. I Tipsy, seeing that his spell has worked to an extent, but not maybe permanently. Grabs the rope out of his pack and says, "Clam, come over here. Help me get this thing under control." And he throws his rope over the back of the creature, hoping Clam will grab the other end and they can help.
All right, so Clam's going to run over there and grab the other rope.
Clam was halfway to the tree, mind you, so
he's got some move speed.
We're not in combat right now. So.
I'm just building the image
of
Tipsy yelling for help, and then Clam
I, like,
just runs back to
the
other.
And I'm like,
he sees Tipsy's got it under control and comes back.
Yeah.
All right. Give me a
more strength checks.
Actually, I'm gonna get a little creative on it. Let's do a crafting.
Oh,
you're working with ropes. You're trying to tie it to something.
It's the nicest thing you've ever done for me. Oops.
Not me. Okay. That's fine. I'll do it. Oh, that's an 11 for me.
18.
18. Okay. Not a great toss, but Clam is able to grab it. Tie it to a tree on the other side, and it looks for the time that you have more or less subdued this creature between you and the Azarketti that are working kind of with you.
Okay.
And then one kind of looks at you now that the creature's like, it's like down, but it's not. And and they're talking to each other. A little confused about what you guys are doing. But they're not. They haven't drawn a weapon at you yet.
Uh-huh.
Is there any way we can try to find common language with these guys, since me and I think Clam both speak a number of languages?
But we don't speak that one.
Yeah, do they know any
do
other
they speak
languages?
Any other languages? We could try out. Can we just try out a bunch of languages and see if they know any of them?
Sure.
I would try the first ones I would try would be Draconic and Fae.
What does that sound like?
Draconic is probably like,
oh.
And they go, what does Fae sound like?
Fae sounds like, oh, little money, little money.
He goes,
I'm guessing that's a no on both.
Okay. Mel, speak some Elven. Come on.
I know Elven, too. Okay. But I'll let Mel do it.
As you guys are talking these languages, you notice they're talking very loudly, almost like they're alerting someone, and more Azarkedia start coming up. You can see, like, down the path, there's a couple more that look like explorers or warriors that are coming up to you.
So I'm kind of behind this thing, right? Because it headbutted me, and I'm kind of brushing myself off the ground.
Yeah.
Right, so I'm kind of looking around. And I see these things coming, and I'm using my chameleon known instincts to kind of blend in. So maybe as I'm closer to the ground, they'll see me a little less. You know
gotcha.
What I mean?
Nice, blend in with the trees.
The trees are okay. Yeah, the ground, the stone.
Mel, what's Mel doing right now?
Well, I was kind of getting dragged behind it. My face was in the ground.
Are you up? Is he up?
It ripped the rope from your hands.
Oh, it did.
So
okay.
You face planted more like toward the shore.
Gotcha.
As the creature has started to move inland, it's now subdued inland. So.
Yeah. I guess I'm running up to the group. I don't really know what I'm doing though.
You gonna help us restrain it with the ropes?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that.
Clam's gonna wave you over because I'm holding the rope that I tied around the tree, right?
Or yes.
Let it go?
Up to you.
I can let it go because the tree's got it.
You succeeded your crafting check. Yeah. It's...
Okay. So then I'm gonna go up to the guys that I'm trying to commune with. It's not working, and I'm just gonna be like trying to make like gestures to be like friend, to be like nice, and go up and try to like shake their hand or something. Can I do like? Diplomacy or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, roll me a diplomacy.
I assume, we didn't say this, but we all have picked up all our gear, I believe, when we got loose in the tent. Is that
I'm
fine?
I'm cool with that,
okay.
Yeah.
I got a 16, so that's a 22.
Oh, so he looks at you, puts one hand out like a stop sign,
okay,
you know, non-threatening, and goes,
and he points
back to the like where you see the campfire and like the main part of their settlement.
Okay.
So, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, you guys are still holding the rope.
Well,
so
I was
going to
say, if it looks like they've got it relatively under control, I suppose we can just take our rope back and walk that way.
The creature starts to, like, you can see some twines of the rope. Strain a little bit.
Mel, get on there.
Yeah, can I maybe use, survival and tie a better knot?
Yes, go for it.
All right. That's a 23.
All right. With a second rope, you kind of tie and fasten another knot. This creature is now pretty subdued. You're not worried about it going. And, like, you almost see, like, a smile or a look of approval on the Azarkedi faces. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
They're impressed with my knot tying ability.
Yeah, they're like, this guy knows his stuff. If you could hear the translation, that's what they said to each other.
All right, so then do we head towards the campfire then?
Well, before you head up there, more Azarkedi come and greet you.
Oh, okay. How many more?
There's like four or five more.
So we're up to six now, basically?
Can I like... can we sense motive or something like that to see like how they're looking at? Are they looking at us like they know who we are, or are they looking at us like enemies, or are they looking at us like they've never seen us before? Like, I'd like to get some sort of sense of how they're just from their
yeah,
demeanor.
Go for it.
Well, I rolled a one. So Clam doesn't know anything. He's...
15.
I was less than that. 11.
Bash, did you
roll? I didn't even roll for it because I don't think.
You're the most perceptive of us.
Well, I know, but I don't know that I'm going with. I'm trying to blend into the surroundings right now. So.
Oh, yeah,
well,
you're hiding.
You could sense perception regardless.
So, Mel, up to you what you want to share. As of right now, they seem pretty neutral to you. Like, they clearly have weapons on them. And they're neither pointing them at the Leviathan nor at you. Like, one has a bow, one has a knife, one's got a trident on his back.
Yeah.
None of them have gone out. You can't really tell from the facial expressions, but you notice that.
I look at the Tipsy and Clam, and I say, guys, if they wanted to kill us, they had their chance. Let's go with them and see what they want. They haven't drawn weapons on us yet. I think we might be able to trust them for now.
I would also very much like to get a sample of their skin. Never seen anything like that.
I don't know that they're going to take kindly to that. Maybe we keep that in our back pocket for a little while.
It doesn't look like it's filled with keratin like mine.
Okay.
So, four or five...
Tipsy's already very suspicious of what Clam's going to get into in this settlement because of their experience with that stranger on the street after he taught him the ignition spell.
Yes. So, four or five more Azurketti show up. You guys are outnumbered now. And they're motioning to you again with what seems like kind gestures. So, like a follow me, like...
Yeah, we follow.
All right, yeah, so okay. We go.
Do they notice me or no?
No. I step on Bash's back while I'm walking.
He's in a ghillie suit.
That's right. I don't make a sound. I'm used to that.
They don't notice you. Do you follow or are you staying hidden?
Well, I stay hidden, but I follow at the same time. Like, kind of...
Okay, give me a stealth check.
Behind.
Can you roll for Burrow? I've been waiting for this long.
Doesn't Chameleon Gnome give you a bonus in stealth?
Yeah, I have
plus
7
didn't it teach you to burrow?
Probably, but I don't know. What is that? It's a nature it's or stealth
action.
Or
no,
whatever.
Burrow's an action.
Burrow's an action. I'm not digging.
But I think,
take an additional, because you are blending in, take an additional plus 2 on the stealth.
Okay, all right. I don't know which dice to roll here. I brought an extra in case this one was rolling ones. Give me some rolls. It's a 5 plus 9, 14.
14. You think you're stealth.
I love it.
I'm a dandelion. I am a dandelion.
As far as you can tell, you don't perceive that they notice you.
Okay.
So we have this guy obviously walking behind us. Being sneaky looking, but not being sneaky.
So the three of you are willingly going with them, sure. And you're behind.
I'm behind.
Okay.
A handful of paces, trying to like get through the trees, like keep my eyes on them, figure out what they're doing.
All right. They lead you into the camp, and there's a handful of these nomadic tents. Look like the tents look like they're made out of whale skin, maybe? Something nomadic. A couple of the Azurketti stay back with the creature, their warriors. And they lead you to what looks like the nicest looking tent. There's a little bit more decoration and painting on this. And as you walk in, you're greeted with what looks like the oldest Azurketti you've seen yet. Much older than the rest of them. And she says, yes. You've awakened.
Finally, somebody who knows how to talk.
Real quick, before, have we gone in the tent, basically? They let us into a tent?
Yes, they led you into
Bash
a tent.
But Bash is still standing outside?
Yeah, I'm not in the tent.
Did you go inside? Like, there's a little clearing. Are you still in the trees? Are you in the clearing with more of the tents?
I would say when they go into... So I'm outside the clearing. Once they go into the tent with these other people, I like watch for a second, and then I like slowly try to sneak into the clearing.
You notice one of the Azurketti looks like he almost snickers and bumps a buddy, like, and points at you.
Well, hold on. Since my perception DC is the same as his stealth check, do I see him then?
Yeah. You
so can I just send like use my cantrip message and send him a message and just say,
"Hey Bash, we all see you, buddy. Why don't you just come on in the tent with us?"
Yes, you can.
And my eyes, you see, I like freeze there. My eyes kind of shift around, well, because, like, side to side,
because all you hear is like my voice in your as if I'm standing directly next to you.
I kind of give a shrug and just walk behind him into the tunnel.
It's the nicest message Tipsy's ever sent.
Listen, he already felt bad about the previous one. He's growing. He's growing as a human.
Okay.
Well, gnome.
Gnome.
All right, so it's only this elder Azarketti in there. Everybody else stayed outside. A couple warrior or explorers led you down here.
All four of us in the tent with this elderly Azarketti.
Yeah.
Female.
Yes.
As we can tell.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think she's already welcomed us in and said, good, you're awake, sort of thing.
Yeah. You finally awoke.
I think Tipsy's going to say, what, can you help fill in the gaps here? Last thing we remember, we were on the boat doing battle with the sea creatures and we woke up here tied up.
Ah, yes. Well, you've been out for quite some time. It's been about a week, maybe. A lot of time reviving you. I'm sorry for the bindings. We saw your weapons. We didn't want to die when you woke up, but we mean you no harm. We know those sea devils can be awfully menacing.
What are you, lady?
We don't really have a word for it in your language. I guess it closely translates to the Forgotten Sea?
How do you know our language?
I'm older than you think. I'm from an age before this one.
Does your kind bleach?
I've heard of this bleaching. No. There is something that's onset our settlement here ever since the incident that reminds us of bleaching.
Hmm. Did you know any gnomes from your early days?
I've met a gnome or two. By the way, you, with the goggles, your kidneys were very hard to patch up.
I couldn't believe I could pee this morning.
It took a long time.
I imagine I got stabbed in both of them like 4 times.
Our best medic was working on you around the clock.
I was standing there, it was like a spear in one kidney, then a spear in the other. I was like, hey, what's going on here?
This
guy's standing back, he's working.
No me pincushion.
You guys ever get stabbed in the kidneys before? Huh? Anybody?
There were so many spear wounds directly in your kidneys. I was like, why is this creature going for his kidneys so much?
I felt like a pincushion at the sewing shop.
You certainly were.
Mm-hmm. Why did you bring us here?
That is an interesting question. We didn't know what to do with you at first. But as we were searching your items, we noticed something we haven't seen in decades.
Clam looks at Tipsy.
Tipsy, having gathered up his items rather hastily, now is frantic with energy. He just wants to know, make sure he has his precious. So he looks through his things, make sure it's there, checks the sigil. What does he see?
But he's stupefied, so he doesn't know if he can. Doesn't stupefied mess with your neurons?
No, it just changed. Well, yeah.
Not so much that you wouldn't recognize.
Yeah, I'm mildly damaged on certain ability scores.
Okay, so
skills.
He can check the sigil.
Yeah, he checks. So what does he see?
He takes it out of his pack and looks at it.
He's
going to turn
it.
His back to the sea lady and then like rifle through his backpack and just make sure he puts eyes on it.
He
sure
sees
there.
The sigil.
Okay.
It looks like the exact same one.
Wait, a question about sigil. Can you detect that in your mind? Like, it's a location detector?
No, I think it's visually based.
It's just visual.
It's like a mark you put on something.
Okay.
And it's your unique mark,
but
too.
But if it's away from you, that doesn't do any good. The item.
Right. It's just a way of verifying that what you found
right,
is
there.
The
okay.
thing.
Right.
So you breathe a sigh of relief that you still have.
Yeah, he just kind of, okay. His nerves are calm. Now he's wondering if she's talking about the compass.
As you look at it, you notice two things. The compass, the artifact itself. One, the wood outer casing that's held in looks like the wood has started to gain life again. There, you know, like when you leave a potato in the pantry too long and it starts to bud? Like, looks like the outer shell is starting to, like, roots are growing and maybe a bud or a stem.
What?
Is growing on it.
Okay.
Interesting.
And also, you notice the metal. You didn't notice this before. But the metal has a slight blue veining that's starting to glow.
Oh.
It looked charcoal black to you before. But now you can see these tendrils of blue that are...
Only Tipsy sees this, though.
Well, he didn't pull it out of his pack, so
right,
yeah.
Right.
He's okay. The only one that notices. So far.
Does that change my feelings about it in terms of, like, jealous obsession over it? Or, like... Or do I start to feel like, hey, this thing's got another purpose, rather than just being my accessory?
Give me a will save.
Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez. Stupefied
5. Stupefied.
Oh, same roll. So 11, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. This guy's dumber than a boxer.
Add,
now.
You go to stupefied 2.
Okay.
And sickened.
Oh.
Brutal.
Does he throw up in his bag?
He just immediately pukes.
Can I choose who I puke on?
When she says we saw something, he rifles through his bag
and throws up in his bag.
Oh, man.
Okay, so as you rifle through your bag, she clearly notices you doing this, looks straight at you, and she's like, ah, yes. You know what I speak of.
He kind of goes pale in the face and tries to bluff and says, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't. You don't play dumb.
Hey, don't now, deep, leave Tipsy alone. Tipsy, what's going on here?
I don't feel so good.
Just starts, and it's not like a projectile vomit. It just kind of falls out of his mouth down in front of him. So he's just got pukes covering his chin and his chest.
Clam snaps at Mel. Mel, get the bag. Get the bag.
I don't know where that came from. What have you guys been feeding me?
It's not what we've been feeding you.
Oh.
That thing has brought this place nothing but evil.
So you sound like you know what it is. Can you kind of elaborate for us a little bit?
I only saw it for a brief glimpse. There was this dark mage that housed himself on our island. I don't know, it was decades ago, 70, 80 years ago. He was clearly looking for something, but he was deep in the forest. We don't go much past our shores. He didn't bother us. We didn't think much of it. Well, one day, she's like, oh, wait. Wait. Oh, no, not yet. One day, our tribe has a ritual we perform every day at high tide in these pooling caverns. We go to touch the water, and the water is what kept us alive. We've been living for hundreds of years on this water. Sometimes when we had an ailment, we would drink it. But we would go, we would touch the water, and it would unite us as a community. And we were walking down to this place we were there. And this dark mage showed up. And we were stunned. We've never had anyone intrude on our ritual before. It's a very desolate island.
What race was this maniac?
I did not get a good look at him. Humanoid for sure. A human or an elf. Certainly bigger than you three.
A mortal.
A mortal. And within an instant, he grabbed my son with this dagger again. It had a rogor in it, the kind that glows blue. And he grabbed my son with a dagger, slit his throat,
ooh,
and poured his blood into our water.
Oh, God.
And as he was doing this, he started collecting our water mixed with the blood and pouring it into that device. And she points at Tipsy.
Oh.
All our warriors fought him, and many of them were trapped inside the device. I feel like I can hear them screaming now.
Oh, that's what... Okay.
Clam's overrun with emotions. Oh, my dear lady! And he goes up and he hugs her. I'm so sorry! We didn't intend to bring it... We didn't intend to bring it back to you.
It's okay, child. I hope... I am stunned to see this device again. And I hope you four are just the ones that can bring those trapped back. I know I'll never see my son again, but at least maybe I can see some of our kind.
Please tell me you were able to have more children.
No.
Oh, dear God.
When this mage was attacking us, I gathered the younglings, and we retreated deep into the pools of the cavern. So we're underwater where he could not find us. I think he exhausted his supply and left quickly after he had interrupted our ritual. You'll notice I'm the only elder here. All these...
He's blubbering. He's a blubbering mess.
Can I cast Stabilize on him? Does that work emotionally as well as physically?
All these others are the younglings that I saved.
So basically it's a whole generation lost of this group of...
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. This was their mass casualty event for the ages. So I guess Tipsy's wondering how this all ties into what they've been doing. So what do you think this thing is? Why did he create it? What does it point towards? Because it's pointing us in a direction, or was. I don't know.
Is it still?
It is still. Are you going to take it out and look at it again?
I suppose, yeah. Now that she's kind of...
It looks like it's pointing
she's
toward...
She's gained Tipsy's trust now that she was there at the creation point of this thing, whatever
okay.
it is.
It looks like it's pointing toward the center of the island.
Oh, okay.
Like further inland.
Is she clothed?
Yeah.
Clam's like wiping his. He's got his goggles up and he's like wiping his nose and eyes on.
She's
like,
got a pretty ornate robe and.
Yeah. He's like in her armpit and just like rubbing
just
his nose.
Using it as a Kleenex?
Yeah. He's just like. Oh.
There, child. We have more than we have.
Tipsy's
greed.
Looking at the other two going, like worried about a possible diplomatic event that's happening here.
6 day first rule dream has effects on your emotions.
She wraps her arm around Clam and she's like, you know what I mean about bleaching now? Like, I no longer. Will live forever, and I know that because our water is gone. We still go to our ritual site every day in hopes that it returns, but it has not yet.
Lady, I must ask, but why did you save us? Why not let us sink?
We were about to. We don't involve ourselves with the trifles of the outer world much. But as our explorers saw your ship, they heard screaming of their fathers and their mothers.
Screaming of their fathers?
And their mothers, yes.
From the device. Like we heard in Otari.
Oh, dear.
And we... They were wise enough to know we needed to investigate this further.
So...
Tipsy's looking at the object and hearing what she said and trying to piece it all together.
So this thing's pointing inwards towards the center of your island by the looks of it. What do you think that means?
I don't know. We rarely venture off of these shores. Our skin needs the water. We need it to live. But this is a deeply forested island. She clearly makes eye contact with Bash because she can tell.
Because he's covered in sticks and mud from his attempts to hide or something.
My eyes just go big and I just nod slowly.
It's a deeply forested island. Thick with much overgrowth. I imagine he was hiding himself deep in the center.
So you think he's still here?
I don't believe so.
Oh.
I think I saw him sail off after our incident.
Okay.
He may have snuck back, but I don't... I have neither seen nor heard tell of him.
Well, from Tipsy's point of view, if she doesn't have anything else to offer in terms of information about this thing, it's the next reasonable course of action would be to follow the compass again.
How do you keep your people nourished?
So, you saw the little mix-up we had with the Leviathan.
Little mix-up? We've got two rug burns here in our party.
Usually the juveniles are slightly easier to train. This one seemed rather worked up.
You're telling me.
When they're young, we're able to train them slightly and use them to help us hunt. We hunt sea creatures, and usually it's mollusks and seals and fish.
Dolphins? He looks at Bash.
We don't usually eat the dolphins.
It's not the cove.
They've got big sound hammers.
Yeah.
Our hunters are quite skilled at, especially with the Leviathan, at finding schools of fish. But again, this one, and you could hear it in the...
But if you had your sacred waters, would you still need nourishment?
Well, yes, we would need some, but they certainly sustain us.
So, I guess...
So do you think we should, follow this thing and see where it leads? Do you think that would help your people if we kind of see what's going on with this thing, investigate it a little further?
That would be a great help to us. If you can free those trapped inside.
If we are going to follow this compass into the middle of your island, do you think you could send a party of your finest warriors with us?
I do not think so.
No?
We wouldn't survive that long without the water. We don't know of water sources
inland. They can't leave the shoreline.
Oh, they're stuck here.
Is there anything you can provide us to help us on our journey?
Let me see as she rummages around. Back of her tent.
She's like, I have a couple of these things. And she's got a little bag, a canvas bag, she hands to Mel. And inside of it, you notice three things. Shielding salve, gecko potion, and a magical lock, Fulu.
What was that last word?
Fulu.
Fulu. Okay.
You guys can look those up.
Is that a streaming service?
How do you spell Fulu?
F-U-L-U.
Okay.
Is this like Flu Potter in Harry Potter? Can I travel through chimneys?
Chimneys?
No, the magical lock Fulu allows you to like put a magical lock on an item.
Oh, that's cool.
Lock something up.
Okay.
And what were the other two ones? You said a shield and...
Shielding salve and gecko potion.
Okay. All right.
Do we know what those things do?
Jeff,
you can look them up.
Okay.
Yeah, add them to the gear section. They should all be on there.
She hands them all to Mel.
We'll let our pack mule take those.
As she's handing them to you, you hear from the settlement the sound of their people. And you hear it again.
Lady, is that a mating ritual I hear?
No, it is. You must excuse me.
Mating.
And she walks out, and you notice all the people walking out repeating this chant as they're walking toward their ritual site.
Is the ritual site, like, super close?
It is. It is close. Okay. It's like a 2 or 3 minute walk from their settlement.
So she just leaves us. We're in her tent alone?
Yep.
Is there anything else in here?
Some of her clothing and random items. You could see like a ritual staff has.
Does Clem want to use any more Kleenex?
Yeah, he's still kind of pouring out of him. He's going to finish on her leftover robe.
All right, well, if there's nothing else in there, I think Tipsy would move to adjourn and move onward to the interior.
Okay. I'll follow. I mean, I'm following Tipsy. Tipsy's got the thing. Have you showed it to us yet? Did we all get a look at it?
I had it out when we were talking to... did we catch her name, by the way? I forget.
It was Aura.
Aura.
Oh, okay.
While we were talking to Aura, I had it
I
out.
I named her.
I was just going to comment.
Well done.
That
well
was
done.
A well-prepared name.
They're all in my Excel file.
Because you guys asked the name every single time.
Do you still have it out, or did you put it back?
I think it's still out, because I didn't bother putting it back after we closed up our discussion, because it was obvious to Tipsy that we were going to follow it eventually, or need to.
Tipsy, what's going on there with that wood? That wood was polished, stained wood. Now what's happening? It's got roots. What's going on?
Mind your own business. Don't worry about it.
Hey, your business, my business.
No,
here,
no,
buddy.
No. It's okay. It's okay. I'll tell you if anything changes.
No.
He's being very standoffish because he feels ill, and also he's getting more obsessed with this object, so he doesn't want anybody else really thinking or dwelling on it too much.
Hmm. Do you hide it away then?
No, I think he leaves it out because they're going to have to follow it. Like, make sure he's going there, that we're headed in the right direction.
Can I just get a little snippet of those roots there?
No.
A little sample?
Just forget it. We'll check it later.
Deepsy.
No, just.
And he kind of turns his back and starts walking in the direction the thing's pointing.
Clam's just, he's like, all right, let's do this.
I guess. In terms of, so we leave the tent, we start walking in the direction. We kind of fill Aura in on what we're going to do, follow this inward and see where it leads and see what we find out.
She's left. She's okay. They are hyper focused
on the Leviathan or Leviathan.
No. They've even left the Leviathan pinned down.
Bash wants to see what they're doing.
Oh, it's time for their ritual, and they like can't miss the time frame.
Right.
Okay.
You could hit them and they wouldn't look at you. Like, you could tell that level of focus. Like, she walked out of the tent and didn't pay mind to you at all.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, well, then I guess we just start walking in the direction this thing's pointing us towards.
Well, do we want to... Well, Bash and Mel, what are you... We can make our own decisions here.
Well, I want to see what they're doing. I'm very intrigued with whatever's getting these people in this trance.
Okay. So you're going to follow
them? I want to see the ritual.
Do you tell us that you're following them?
No.
Okay. So I'm following Tipsy, and you just scatter off following.
Yeah.
Mel is real keen on repaying this kindness that was given them. I mean, they saved us on the boat. They brought us back to full health, and so he's all in on trying to figure this out for them. So you're following us. I'm following you guys.
All right.
I mean, I want to
go in alone. You can.
I want to just follow the sea dwellers to see this. I want to keep a bead on these guys. I'm like, okay, they're heading in that general direction.
Are you
track them later? I'm a ranger. No, I think I'm stealth.
You still think you're stealth?
No. I don't know.
You could do it again.
Do I have to be stealth?
No, I'm just asking.
It's up to you.
Oh, that's a good question.
If they're that focused, they're probably not going to notice you.
They probably won't, but I will.
So
still,
you're following behind them.
I'm following behind them because I want to see what's going on over there.
All right.
All right.
Oh. Wait, why is that so big? You might need to hit the scale to 1. There you go.
All right. You walk in behind them.
We've just moved to Antarctica.
And they're all surrounded by this center spire in a cave. The walls are wet.
Oh, it's a cave.
You can see the faint blue glow everywhere in this cave. You can see some of the like crystallized blue on the cavern walls, and they're all surrounded in this what looks like this pool of seawater, and the center spire, just a very most minuscule drip coming down into this pool, and they all come up. And for a brief second, touch the center spire, like lower their head, close their eyes, and then pull back. And then touch the center spire. They all keep doing this. You don't even need to roll. So like, they are not paying attention to you at all.
Okay. Okay.
And they're still chanting as well.
They're still chanting. Okay. Can I go up and try to get a closer look?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to get a closer look and see if I can see anything else.
Is Bash going to participate in the ritual?
I was getting there.
So have you broken they're circled around the pool, which the spire is.
Am I assuming I'm smaller than them? Can I, like,
yes,
wiggle through without them noticing me? Or would I effectively disrupt there?
Are we talking, like, 10 people or, like, hundreds of people?
No, there's, like, 40 to 50.
Oh, okay. That is a lot.
You notice their circle is tight enough where you would have to, you'd probably bump into one. You could try it, but you'd probably bump into one if you were to go past them into the center.
I'm going to try it. Bash is very curious, okay?
All right.
I'm going to try to get past them. I'm debating putting my hand on this thing to see what's going on here.
Never lick the mushroom.
I know.
The mantra.
This is giving mushroom vibes.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Roll. Are you sneaking in there, or are you just going to bust through the lot? What are you doing?
No, I'm certainly sneaking. I don't want to bother anybody. I'm trying to be as...
Well, is he sneaking or being respectful?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm trying to be indiscreet. I'm not busting through the line. I'm just trying to...
Okay, up to you. You could roll a religion. You could roll a stealth.
I'll roll stealth. I'll roll stealth.
You could roll a performance.
I think it's stealth. Or performance, yeah.
That's pretty good. I'll roll stealth. It's a 2 plus 7, so 9.
This guy.
You gotta roll that other 20.
He accidentally hits one in the balls.
No, it's not a... Well, it might be a fumble.
You bump into one.
Uh-huh.
As you're trying to sneak past. And he, like, quietly goes... And then unsheaths his dagger just a little bit.
Oh.
Oh.
But Ara is right next to him.
Okay.
Puts her hand on the shoulder.
She, like, soothes him.
And then puts her hand on your shoulder.
Oh.
Doesn't say anything. But, like, invites him in this room.
Oh. Okay. All right. Nice.
I love this lady.
Okay. So now I'm kind of observing, and I want to copy what they're doing, right? So they're, like, reaching out and touching these things and bowing and then reaching back.
One at a time, they're walking in, like, they're circled around the center pool. They're walking into the pool and touching the center spire.
Okay.
So you notice the Azarketti before you does it, the guy that pulled his dagger out.
Uh-huh.
And you're between him and Ara.
Uh-huh.
What do you do?
So I'm next. Well, I'm going to follow my turn in the line.
You reach out and touch it. Give me a fortitude save.
Which you guys pick, acrylic or metal?
try one or the other. I don't care.
Acrylic.
Do you want to use your hero point to roll both?
The metal one's averaging like 2.5.
That's true. It's an 11. Which one did you tell me to roll?
Fortitude.
Fortitude plus 7, 18.
18. You... feel just the smallest drip run over your hand. Feel a sense of peace, a sense of calm. You get 1d4 healing.
Oh,
okay.
Nice.
I did lose 4 from that Leviathan. It's a 2. Okay.
And then nothing more.
Okay. Cool. So then I step back and let Ara take her turn.
Yeah. They all take their turns. And then the ritual ends, and they are again still chanting as they walk out of there and leave you behind.
Okay. All right.
Cut to us.
Yeah,
walking,
what are you guys
walking
doing?
Walking towards the compass.
Before we cut to us, where is Caw-Caw? And why have you not asked?
What do you mean? I
that
don't
dream,
know.
He saw the fake dream. Eye. And he
I did.
Like, oh,
I'm
boy.
Eventually going to try to call, but I didn't want to disturb any of this process yet. I've been.
So
I know.
He's not with you, though.
No, Caw-Caw right? was
he's
off
not with him?
Somewhere.
Okay. No, Caw-Caw is still in the trees around the center camp.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I feel like it's been too busy for me to call for my raven.
Okay.
All right. Cut to the party. What are you guys doing? Did you leave Bash? Like,
we started
Bash
walking. We
you.
Didn't. We didn't pay attention because he was trying to blend in earlier, and he's also a ranger, so he kind of does his own thing occasionally. as far as we know.
It's true.
So Tipsy's like, do you think Bash is following us, or do you think he's gone and done something weird?
To be honest, I'm kind of tired of that mud creature. I tried to talk to him on the boat, and he just gave me a cold shoulder. I don't know if he's really one of us.
His heart is in the right place.
Sure, you gave him a plastic raven.
You have to think that you killed his bird.
I'm willing to give him a chance, but I don't know how I feel about him.
He's probably just trying to be stealthy again. He's caking himself in undergrowth.
If he would have grown up in Sipplewell, they would have ended his life much shorter.
So if we've been walking this whole time, is he going to have to pick up our tracks,
you guys been walking
basically?
This whole time? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. To catch up with us?
Yep.
All right. Well, then we're just continuing to walk wherever.
All right. Let's say an hour or two passes. You're still hiking in this forest, hacking through it. You don't see a trail.
Is it daytime, by the way?
It is daytime, yes.
Okay.
Clam's going to he's going to stop for a poop break, and he's going to do his alchemy for the day.
You think gnomes bury their poop?
Almost certainly.
I would imagine it smells wonderful.
It's like that the unicorn
it's the
potty
unicorn
commercial.
Food. Yeah. The squatty potty.
The squatty potty commercial. Sponsor of the show.
Yeah, so Clam's gonna poop and mix some elixirs at the same time.
Oh, nice.
And it takes me at least 20 minutes to find a good sized leaf for a gnome rear end. okay, where's my.
Wait, for a gnome, it'd be easy. Every leaf is sized right. For humans, it's hard.
This island has incredibly small leaves.
Oh, okay. They're all compound.
Bunch of,
and
bunch
all,
them
like,
together.
They're all like spiky and rough.
Well, yeah, I would think there'd be palm trees if it's an island, like a legitimate island.
Yeah.
Sure, I had to climb a little bit to get a good one.
That's the problem, actually. The leaves are too big.
Right. <here. laughs> okay, so I'm going to make some stuff here.
While he's doing that, Melchillion goes off and is trying to repair his spiked chain.
Oh, I forgot that got destroyed.
So I'm going to roll crafting.
Nice.
Got a 17. I don't know what that...
you succeeded your crafting check.
Does it have a repair action somewhere? Oh, yeah,
here. It does, yeah.
Repair crafting.
Repair, yeah.
So does it say the DC? Oh, you GM sets the DC.
It's a success.
All right.
Nice.
A regular success?
Yes.
Okay, you get 5 hit points to the item, plus an additional 5 per proficiency rank in crafting. So if you're trained in it, then you get a 10,
you get
basically.
10, yeah.
All right, Bash is walking out of this cave, kind of following the people, looking around, see what they're doing. Looks like they're just going about their everyday business. And so I'm going to start making soft bird sounds to see if my
what's
raven
that, what's
is in
that
the
sound
area.
Like?
It's like, and then, you know, if I don't hear anything, I'm going to move to another space, maybe go a little louder.
Caw Caw is awkwardly close and startles you how quickly he claws.
Jolts me away.
You kind of forgot that it only has one eye.
Yeah. So I look at it, and I'm looking at it more closely, and I start stroking the feathers, you know, and it doesn't really do anything. It's like kind of stiff and emotionless. And so I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, something reminds me about this thing, but I can't quite pick it up. But either way, Caw-Caw's perched on me now, and I'm gonna try to pick up the trail of our intrepid adventurers here.
Gotcha. Well, okay. I'll give you a couple bonuses. You saw the direction the compass was going.
Because
you're a ranger, you probably can recognize that with sunlight, general direction.
My tracking's pretty good.
Yeah, and they weren't hiding their tracks. So I'll give you a bonus on top of your tracking.
Okay. Which I believe is survival.
Yes, survival. Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't know I had an option to hide the tracks.
God bless it. You did. You could have. Where's Bash? No, no. We should hide our tracks.
Behind us.
All right. It is a 6 plus 6. 12.
Oh, gosh.
was hoping you'd pass that. So just get the party back together.
Nope. He's off in the woods.
I'm still like an hour behind. I'm still
eight.
Yeah, I'm still. How about this? How about I'm looking at the native wildlife, if it's a forest, to see how similar it is to where I'm from, and trying to create some of my like natural salves.
Gotcha. And you
notice, so I'm taking my time a little bit, but I still know their general direction.
You notice the general direction. You're still heading that way, but you're not exactly caught up to them.
Mm. I would like him to stumble across my pile of feces.
Step
right in.
This is multicolored.
Caw-caw brings it to him as a present.
His chameleon skin turns brown immediately.
Yeah. What is this? A scale model of Mount Doom?
As you're walking through the forest, you hear what sounds like two halflings?
Oh, I speak halfling.
Talking to each other? And they're like,
oh, yeah.
Did we just walk in on a lovemaking session?
Not quite.
Ooh, yeah.
Clam wants to stealth.
And then the other one, yeah, roll me a stealth check. Okay. The other one goes, oh, man, take a little tug-tug.
What? Listeners, you ain't, if anybody under 18 is listening to this. I got a 17 to stealth.
Okay, you stealth right up to him. You
right up to him?
Well, you're close enough to see what they're doing.
Oh, jeez.
They have a vine pulled down from the tree, and they're taking turns, like, basically taking a hit off of it. They're, like, sucking on something like a straw.
Like a hookah?
Yeah, and then passing it to the other one. And then one guy, oh, yeah, you want a boot scoot?
Boot scoot! I love that halflings are just like they sound like what I'd imagine a troll sounds like.
They're high halflings.
The guy in my head is high Hank from King of the Hill.
Oh, okay.
Take a little tug tug.
And as go ahead.
I'm gonna put my arm around the one's shoulder, even though he hasn't noticed me yet. Just be like, hey, dude, can I get some of that?
And we'll see you next week.
Next time on the Rogue Mage Podcast.
Look, we're friends. I'm just not digging the peer pressure right here. I thought this was all about good times.
They call me Lunk.
What was your father's name?
Tarundel.
Child sacrifice time, Mel. Put him on the table. Cut his throat.
Fly, you fools.
And the three adventurers, terrified, still not noticing that they're hearing snapping noises. Somebody is following them. And up from behind them walks a lone human.
Well, what have we here?